Fired up to welcome Danny Cannell on to the program. Danny's one of the foremost college football experts in the country. I always enjoy, Danny, I've said this to you before, I love how you will go at the SEC crowd and just poke them. I love it, and I know they probably drive you crazy on social media, but it's good stuff. How are you? Thanks for joining us, man.
What is up, fellas? What's going on? I mean, I'm a little bit down listening to Misery Monday and, like, all the stuff. You know, I mean, I get it, but I'm like, man, it is a holiday. Like, a lot of people don't have to work today, so I'm doing all right. But it's good to catch up with you guys.
Well, it's funny, dude, because I wanted to have you on today to talk some Jaden Daniels, and you played quarterback at the highest levels, and I think you give us some really good insight. But we have those Misery Monday sounders for days after a Burgundy and Gold loss. But but today at 4-2 and losing to the Ravens in Baltimore, really where you showed that you can compete on that level, doesn't feel very miserable.
At all.
What is your take on kind of Washington's season so far?
Oh, my God. I totally agree with you guys. And I am not a believer, and I'm sure B. Mitch isn't as well, I'm not a believer in moral victories, right? A loss is still a loss. But there were a lot of still, I think some people had questions about the Commanders and about just how good this team was. And, you know, was it for real? They are legit. I mean, they're the best team in the NFC East, so they're probably going to win the division. You got Jaden Daniels, who's at this point, it's going to be a really interesting race because Caleb Williams had a nice day yesterday. But, I mean, going into the weekend, he was the favorite for the Rookie of the Year, and he probably still ends up winning it. And the conversations about him pushing for MVP weren't that outrageous. I think it was probably a long shot. But then for him to go toe-to-toe with the Ravens and with Lamar Jackson, and really, like, what impresses me, it's not any statistic, it's not any singular play, it's his poise and his composure. Because he just looks like he belongs. He looks like he's already played 60 games, not six. And that is rare. You know, he hasn't really had that game, which I'm sure it'll happen at some point. But, like, usually there's a game where it's like, oh, that's a rookie. You know, and, like, you see that, and you see a little bit overwhelmed. He hasn't looked overwhelmed once. And I hear outstanding things about his work ethic, about his mentality, about he came in there. And I love some of the stuff I'm hearing about him going on the defensive side of the ball when they were in training camp and asking guys like Bobby Wagner, hey, What can I do to get better? Like, you know, I've loved everything I've heard about him, and I think you don't have that type of success without – it's not fluky. It is a combination of an incredibly gifted young man who you pair that with a work ethic and, you know, the right mindset. And it has been it's been probably the biggest surprise, I would say, of the season. Because people looked at Caleb Williams, and they were like, oh, great surroundings. He's going to be fine. But I think Jaden Daniels, there were some still question marks, and I think he's silenced any critic that he's had without question.
I think when you look at Jaden, he's elevated the guys around him and even made the – you know, he makes the defense play a little better every once in a while. But the thing I was asking, like, you look at him yesterday, 24 of 35, 68% completion. That's like a low game for him. So when you played, Danny, how long did it take you to settle down? Because – what he's doing, as you stated, is remarkable.
Well, B. Mitch, I only started about 30 games in the NFL. I don't know if it ever settled down for me. I wasn't very good. That's the other thing. I was mostly a backup. But I will say this. So when I was my last year in the NFL, I was 30 years old. I was with the Denver Broncos, and I was a backup. But I probably had one of my best, you know, seasons in practice and OTAs and training camp. And I did feel I finally got to that point. And I would say it was on the back end of my career, but I would say it probably takes typically 2 years, you know, of starting experience. And, you know, and of course you start adding to that. So you get even more and more comfortable within systems and with your system. And then I think like it's clearly Jaden looks really comfortable in the system. I think where he elevates and takes the next step, which I think you'll see probably if it doesn't happen this year down the road, is where you really start to be comfortable knowing why you're running certain plays. Like, you can execute the plays, but sometimes you don't know why. But the longer you play, you start realizing, okay, this is our collection of man beater plays, or these are two, you know, cover two, you know, beater plays, or these are the type of plays that we're going to run if we see a team that's running a lot of zone blitz. So you start really getting a full grasp of why you're doing things and recognizing what the opponent is doing. But I'll tell you, and I thought they did a really good job in the broadcast, the touchdown that he hit in the first half where he was looking to the right and his second option coming from the backside, and he just seamlessly, no panic, just floats it right to an area, throws the receiver open and knew exactly where to go with the football. Those are the types of throws you don't see guys make until they've played 2 or 3 years. And for him to be making throws like that after 6 games is why I think he's really special.
It's really been impressive. And like you mentioned, there haven't been those rookie moments. I watched Sunday Night Football last night, and that interception Daniel Jones threw, that's a rookie moment. That's just such a mental mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his sixth year. Danny, are you surprised or encouraged at just the way Jaden takes care of the football?
Oh, it's an outstanding. I mean, I feel like I'm just raving about him, but he deserves all the praise that he's getting. Don't get me started on Daniel Jones. That's a whole nother story. Because you do, unfortunately, you see some guys who make the same mistakes over and over, and it's like head-scratching. Like, how can you not understand like how damaging some of those throws are? But even yesterday, where I thought the Ravens had a pretty good game plan where they were going to contain Jaden's rushing ability. And that, of course, I think if you're a defense and you're playing Washington and you're playing a rookie quarterback, and Lamar had to deal with this too, they're going to try to take away your legs. Like, they want to see you win from the pocket because that is sort of the differentiator. And sometimes your legs can bail you out of either bad protection, a bad play call, or you're not sure where to go with the football. Well, I'll just extend the play. I'll make a play. And a lot of guys get away with that when they're young, and so they take it away from you. And I thought the Ravens did a pretty good job containing and keeping Jaden Daniels from killing them with the big rush play or the big play where he's getting outside the pocket. And what did he do? He still executed the system from within the pocket. Yeah. And that, to me, is ahead of his years in knowledge, and just the ability to do that shows me a quarterback who has already matured beyond what anybody would have anticipated. And I do think some of that, I think Cliff Kingsbury clearly deserves a ton of credit for, and that was one of the hires that I was really excited about, because I watched Cliff and what he did with Kyler Murray out in Arizona, similar skill set. But the one thing that I thought Kyler Murray held him back was himself. Like, Kyler, and you guys, I'm sure, talked about his contract and where they had this film study. Right. And I think it's taken a while for Kyler to learn how to be a pro, which is kind of normal. It took me a long time to learn what it takes to be a pro. It's amazing that these players like Jaden Daniels come in and they understand what it takes to be an NFL franchise quarterback as far as film study, getting in first, leaving last, being the guy that stands up, takes the criticism, all those things that go into it. He's already handling it like a seasoned veteran.
I think you also, like, he gets known as this running quarterback, but he's a guy who much rather be in the pocket that happens to be able to run. And I think that kind of helps him out at this level even better, because, as you stated earlier, you just start running all the time in this league and you end up laying in a hospital somewhere because guys will catch you. But if you know how to maneuver in the pocket and also use your legs just to buy more time, you know, it'll be very beneficial to him because he likes to run. But he protects himself for the most part.
Yes, and I think what we're seeing and why you're really seeing, you know, the true pocket passers are just becoming extinct, right? Like a Drew Brees or a Peyton Manning or even a Tom Brady, is because offenses and offensive coordinators and franchises even are realizing what a weapon it is to have a quarterback who can run those RPOs, who can, you know, I mean, look at the Bills. They run Josh Allen, a lot of called quarterback runs. And I think for historically, people would have been, or franchises would have been terrified, like, oh my gosh, what if your quarterback gets hurt? I think teams are less worried about that now, of getting your guy hurt and realizing, one, they're taking care of quarterbacks. They can't hit them hardly anymore anyway. So there's not as much risk as there used to be. And then two, the advantage that it is as a play caller to have that weapon where once you sprinkle it in there and they have to respect it, it opens up so many things in the run game. It opens up passing windows off the play action pass. It really kind of has been this like key that has unlocked a lot of NFL offenses, so much so where teams are looking for, you know, quarterbacks that are really athletic and that can run and make plays with their legs. And then if you get a bonus where you get a guy paired like that, and then you compare him with the ability to throw from the pocket like Jaden, mm-hmm. or like Josh Allen, or like even Burrow. I mean, Burrow had a nice rushing touchdown last night. Like, it's becoming a prerequisite for you to be able to run the football, but then you got to be able to win from the pocket too, which Jaden has showcased that ability as well.
Yeah, it's been remarkable watching kind of just the evolution of quarterback play in general. But what Jaden does as a pocket passer, and to your earlier point about what it then creates when you can supplement that with his legs, the sky, you don't want to say too much praise, but the sky really does seem like the limit. We are talking with Danny Cannell, national champion quarterback at Florida State, 6 years in the NFL. You can follow him at Danny Cannell, K-A-N-E-L-L. I'd be crazy to not at least get some college football in here. How about Bama losing to Vandy, almost going down to South Carolina? Oregon, Ohio State was an excellent game. Yeah. I mean, just Penn State, USC goes down to the wire. What a weekend in college football.
Thank you. I thought you might have been asking me about the Terps, maybe, and I was like, where's this conversation going to go?
But I'm good. I kept that one to myself.
Hey, Daddy, he's not asking questions about the Terps today.
Listen, I love my Turtles. I love Coach Locks. You lose Leah, you got a transition year.
Yes, exactly. You're right. It's a transition year. I thought this weekend was maybe the best college football weekend I've seen in a decade, and maybe 20 years, because sometimes you get all these top 25 matchups and we hype them up so much. They just don't ever live up to the hype. Man, every single game this week was incredible. The Oregon-Ohio State, a couple national championship contenders coming down to the absolute last second of the game. You had Penn State traveling across the country, having a unbelievable finish with USC. You know, so you have these brands, traditional brands going against each other. Penn State gets a big win. LSU, Ole Miss in overtime. Mm. You know, a couple teams keeping their playoff hopes alive. It has been awesome. I think the one lesson I've taken away from college football this year, there is more parity than ever before, and I know the reason why, and some people don't want to say it. It's because forever, the teams at the top, and a lot of them did happen to reside in one conference that plays in the southeastern portion of our country, they were able to collect all the talent because they had bag men, or they had cars, or they had whatever it was that they could give them under the table, and everybody turned a blind eye, and so they were able to collect all this talent. With NIL and with the transfer portal, it gives teams like Vanderbilt a shot. Like, they were able to go get and buy a quarterback like Diego Pavia from New Mexico State, who gives them a chance. And they weren't able to do that before. And you're seeing some of the talent, like guys that maybe would sit at, you know, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, you know, some of the blue bloods, they might sit and they can get some money. You know, now they can go somewhere else and get to play and get money. So you're starting to see the talent spread out, which is awesome because parity is here. I think it's great for the sport, and it makes for Saturdays like we just saw.
I think, like, all the coaches are like, oh, it's going to mess up college football. Look like it's making it better than me.
Exactly. It's 100% spot on.
That's those coaches that wanted to have all the control. That's why some of them left the game early.
Yep. And the NCAA wanted to keep all the money.
Yeah, that's
now
it.
Now it's starting to get spread out. It's made for an awesome product.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I've enjoyed it. I think – Texas might be that dude, though. I mean, I watch a ton of college football. Saturdays are my favorite because Sundays are a work day, right? And, you know, Oregon looked good in this game against Ohio State. Penn State's looked pretty good. I think a little spotty. Miami's been pretty damn lucky to get through everything unscathed. Texas, just to go up to Michigan and do that, then to beat Oklahoma like that in a neutral field, what do you think of the Horns?
They're my number one team. I agree with you. We're about to find out because they got Georgia coming to town. Like, that to me is going to be one of the games of the absolute year. Texas is just a field goal favorite, you know, 3.5 points. I wouldn't sleep on Georgia. I know they've been playing. They lost against Bama there in Tuscaloosa in a game that was wild. This will be Texas's biggest challenge yet. I think Texas will win, but this is where I think our mindsets have to change. I don't think anybody's unbeatable. Like, we used to see teams like Bama in their heyday, or, you know, a Clemson when they had things rolling, where they would just be 2 touchdown favorites in almost every game. We're right. starting to see teams that are evenly matched, and I think this is one where we'll really find out. And most likely, if you said who's a team you would absolutely drop your money on to make the college football playoffs, it would be Texas, and I wouldn't hesitate. But I do think we're about to find out what they're really made of with Georgia coming to town.
I agree. I mean, Georgia's so loaded up and down that roster. Danny, last one for me. This is kind of a weird question because I'm not asking you who you think the best is. But Saturday, I started to emerge really liking somebody. I'm curious, who's your favorite coach in college football?
Oh, man. My favorite coach in college football. So, I mean, Kirby Smart's the most decorated, but I don't know if I personally would have loved playing for him. Like, and that's just a personality thing. And I actually, as much, you know, like, he's always yelling, screaming. I played for Coach Bowden, and I played for Mark Richt.
Dadgummit.
You know, who were very, you know, who, yeah, exactly. All shucks. And he would get mad, but he was always, you know, very calm and very cool. And Mark Richt was probably, he got heat at Georgia when he was the head coach for not being fiery enough. If I was a quarterback coming out, I mean, we just talked about Texas. Steve Sarkisian, what he does offensively is pretty special. So I'd put him at the top of a list. I think Kalen DeBoer was at Bama, he's getting so much heat because he's wearing a dry fit t-shirt. Like, fans are upset at Bama. Like, you can't be the coach at Bama wearing that. I think he's up there. Dan Lanning, now he is, again, he's fiery, but my goodness, does he give some enthusiasm and some energy. And he's got an offensive coordinator, which is calling great games for them. So, those guys probably be the top, but I'd probably lean Sark. If I was a young quarterback coming out, I'd probably lean towards Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Who are you going to say?
Dude, Lanning impressed the bleep out of me Saturday night. And to be that young and to really what seems like it seems like the bond he has with his team, at least with Ohio State coming to town and what that meant to Oregon to get that dub, he seemed like a guy that would get you pretty motivated.
He has
to play
a damn track team over there, I can tell you that.
Now, my one seed of coaches I want to drink a beer with would be Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And you want to do it in Oxford because the scenery is really nice in Oxford, Mississippi, where he is, too. But the one thing that you didn't – I don't know if you – I'm sure you noticed this, but Dan Lanning is one of the young, innovative minds who's really embraced analytics.
Yeah.
And he's also all over some of the little intricacies of the game. They tried an onside kick unlike anything we've ever seen. When the kicker actually tried to drill it at the player who was the closest to the football for Ohio State, like, it wasn't a traditional onside. It wasn't a squib kick. He tried to drill the guy with the ball, and he did, and they recovered it. We've never seen that.
Yeah, I saw that.
All of a sudden, he tries to do that. And then the last play of the game, when he sent out their 12 players in the field intentionally – to make sure they don't give up the big play, but then they only give up five, but they lose the seconds. Ohio State did off the clock. Just little things like that are where he's really cutting edge as far as pushing the envelope and really embracing, you know, some of the rules and intricacies of the game, which is brilliant when you think about it.
Totally.
Yeah, I've enjoyed him. Danny, this has been great, man.
Appreciate you, Danny.
Don't let Jordan boss you around too much.
I know. She runs a tight ship on the pregame show we run. So man, she loosens up a little bit.
We did the pregame with her for a couple of years. Yeah. She was in charge, dude. did what you were told.
No doubt about it. I'll tell her you guys said hello. We'll have to do this again soon.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much, buddy. Danny. Appreciate your time, man.
See you guys.
Danny Cannell. You know, I loved Charlie Ward as a kid, and then it became Danny Cannell after Charlie Ward, those Florida State quarterbacks. I watched a lot of FSU in those days and enjoyed it. Danny's a good dude, good guest. Give him a follow, @DannyCannell.